state briefs read by an automated voice. Delmarva bills to give customers more detail. More details will appear on Delmarva power bills, after lawmaker complaints that there was too little information about state-mandated charges, including purchases of renewable power and the Bloom Energy surcharge. In meetings at the Public Service Commission, a two-step process was agreed on. First, this summer, utility bills will outline items for the low-income fund charge, the green energy fund charge and renewable compliance charges, which will be wind, solar and fuel cell charges lumped together. The next step comes in 2014, when wind, solar and fuel cell charges will be detailed. The PSC must approve the agreement. The Bloom Energy charge is on bills because lawmakers allowed the natural gas-powered fuel cell energy to count for renewables requirements. A Bloom subsidiary put a project at two Delmarva substations, and customers are paying a surcharge each month for the energy. More, the News Journal. Delmarva Power gets $15.1 million rate boost. The Public Service Commission approved a $15.1 million delivery rate increase for Delmarva Power, less than half the $38.9 million the company sought. It allowed a 9.7% return on equity instead of the 10.25% sought. More, the News Journal. Illinois. NRG's Crane coal plant's essential for 3 to 10 years. NRG Energy Chief Executive David Crane said that he has not developed a long-term plan for the Illinois coal plants the company just bought from Edison Mission Energy's Midwest Generation. But he said they will be essential in the short term. The purpose of having old coal plants, to be frank, is keeping the lights on for the next 3, 5, 10 years, he said. All I can say is thank God old coal plants were available in this winter's frigid spells, he said, because there just isn't enough natural gas in the system. Asked about Exelon's position opposing subsidies for wind and solar, NRG's Crane called it hypocritical, when Exelon purports to be this super green company and also wants more subsidies for nuclear. More, the Chicago Tribune. ComEd, Nest Labs partnering on summer rebate plan. ComEd is partnering with Nest Labs to offer up to $140 in rebates for customers who buy a Nest Learning thermostat and participate in the utility's demand response program. ComEd's AC cycling pilot program, in effect from June through September, can use Nest's rush hour rewards service to help reduce demand on the hottest days, the utility said. More, Commonwealth Edison. First IKEA U.S. wind farm is 98 megawatts Hoopston wind. Retailer IKEA US is buying a 98 megawatts wind farm in Hoopston, Vermilion County, the company's first wind farm investment in the US and IKEA Group's largest single renewable energy investment globally. Hoopston Wind is being built by Apex Clean Energy and is expected to be online by the first half of 2015. More IKEA. EverPower buys Big Sky Wind Farm from Suzlon. Big Sky Wind Farm. Big Sky Wind Farm west of Chicago now belongs to Pittsburgh-based EverPower Wind Holdings. Turbine maker Suzlon Energy bought the 240-megawatts facility from Edison Mission Energy, or EM, at the beginning of April and immediately sold it to EverPower, in a pair of transactions that resolved Suzlon's long-running dispute with EM, which involved a $228 million loan Suzlon made to EM. EM had withheld $208 million, charging that Suzlon supplied defective equipment. The sale price was not disclosed, but the deal provided cash-strapped Suzlon with liquidity, which is very valuable right now, Suzlon Finance Group head Kirti Vagadia said. He said in February that it expected to recover $90 million from the asset. More, The Economic Times, Bloomberg. Indiana. Commission to eye Edwards Port issues. The Indiana Utility Regulatory Commission will look further into the fuel costs that Duke Energy Indiana has reported for its long-troubled Edwards Port Integrated Gasification Plant, whose output fell to under 1% of capacity in February. The 618 megawatts plant ran at 4% in January. The State Office of the Utility Consumer Counselor claims the $3.5 billion plant consumed more energy than it produced during some periods in September, October, and November, and pressed the IRC for more time to scrutinize Duke's request for fuel cost recovery. Duke argues the plant is within its 15-month startup plan, but the commission agreed to take a deeper look. More, Indianapolis Business Journal. Maryland. PSC approves ODEC's 1,000 megawatts Wildcat Point. Proposed Wildcat Point plant. The Public Service Commission approved Old Dominion Electric Cooperative's 1,000 megawatts gas-fired Wildcat Point generating project. ODEC plans to build a combined cycle project next to its existing Rock Springs gas facility in Cecil County and is targeting a June 2017 in-service date. Transcontinental Gas Pipeline is applying for approval to build a pipeline to serve the project. More power engineering. Customers get more flexibility. Bill help. Retail customers will now be able to change energy suppliers more quickly, get budget billing plans as well as payment extensions, and obtain other help with electricity bills. Some things that Baltimore Gas and Electric has already been offering its customers since January's price spikes. The Public Service Commission approved these provisions after hearing hundreds of complaints about prices and about receiving misleading information from suppliers about their variable rates and how to cancel contracts. People's Counsel Paula Carmody said her office has been puzzled by variable rate contracts up to 48 cents/kWh, compared with BGE's standard offer of 9.5 cents. Disclosure rules have to be changed, she said, and there should be consideration of capping variable rate contracts. More, the Baltimore Sun. Somerset Wind Farm fate awaits governor decision. The future of Pioneer Green's wind project in Somerset County appears to be in the hands of Governor Martin O'Malley, who will either sign or veto a lawmaker-approved bill to delay wind farm development within a 56-mile range of Naval Air Station Patuxent River while a study is done to see how turbines can operate without interfering with radar. The bill targets Pioneer Green's 25-turbine project, Great Bay Wind Energy Center. While the developer has an agreement with the military concerning operational measures to allay radar concerns, some interests are far from sanguine about it. O'Malley favors wind development and reportedly has been eager to move the Somerset project along. But U.S. Representative Steny Hoyer and others have called for a delay. The Patuxent Air Base is a major economic presence in Maryland. More, WMDT, Baltimore Sun. State seeks takers for small wind power grants. The Maryland Energy Administration is soliciting applications until May 15 for $1.1 million in grants for community-scale wind power projects, from 100 kilowatts to 1,000 kilowatts. Projects for community windswept grants must provide a benefit such as community ownership or serving load at a local community, academic or municipal facility. More, Maryland Energy Administration. New Jersey. Fishermen's appeals BPU rejection of wind project. Fisherman's Energy is appealing the Board of Public Utilities denial last month of its plan to build a 25-turbine wind farm offshore Atlantic City. The appeal is to clarify a number of apparent misunderstandings and misinterpretations, including a large overestimation of the price of the project's power, the company said. According to Fisherman's, the BPU reviewed a price of $263 per megawatt hours while the real price is $199. More, Delaware in line. Report examine range of solar reviving options. The state should look at a range of options for reviving its leadership in deployment of solar energy, according to a draft report, from establishing a green bank to help finance new installations to promoting more competitive procurement of long-term contracts. The report was prepared for the Rutgers University Center for Energy, Economic, and Environmental Policy, which is working with the Board of Public Utilities on solar development volatility. The state used to rank second in the number of installations but has slipped to fifth. Policymakers are concerned about the boom and bust cycle. More, NJ Spotlight. BPU to get in your face more on tree trimming. After devastating outages in the last few years, the Board of Public Utilities is toughening its requirements for utilities' vegetation management practices. We're going to get in your face a little bit more than in the past, the BPU's Jerome May told utility executives. While the board conceded that utilities generally do a good job with trees, it said more needs to be done, especially in communicating with local officials about tree trimming policies. More, NJ Spotlight. North Carolina. Solar RFP brings Duke three times what it sought. Duke Energy has received bids for almost three times the 300 megawatts of new solar capacity it sought in a February request for proposals. The 300 megawatts would almost double the utility's solar capacity in the state. The RFP targeted facilities larger than 5 megawatts and was limited to projects already in Duke's transmission and distribution queue that could be completed by the end of 2015. Duke said it would select projects by October. More, Fierce Energy. Duke busy with ash fights on multiple fronts. Communities along the Dan River on the North Carolina-Virginia border are pressing Duke Energy to use vacuum dredgers to clear the waterway of coal ash from a February 2nd spill. At least one county resolution also called on Duke to remove ash from all 13 ponds at several facilities in the river's basin. According to the Roanoke River Basin Association, the pollution in the river from the Dan spill is hurting tourism in the economically depressed region. In other action, a judge denied Duke's motion to shield records related to ash pond groundwater pollution while the separate federal criminal investigation is going on. The judge agreed with a Southern Environmental Law Center attorney to keep the documents public but said Duke could try later to seal some of the records as trade secrets if they could justify it. More News and Observer, Bloomberg, ABC News. Duke, Piedmont seeks second pipeline into state. Duke Energy East and Gas Works. Duke Energy and Piedmont Natural Gas are asking for proposals to build and operate a second large natural gas interstate pipeline into North Carolina. Duke has opened 5 gas-fired plants in the state since 2011 and plans a continuing shift to gas. Piedmont's customer growth last year was its highest since 2008 and continues to climb. The state is now served by a Transco line that runs northeast diagonally through western North Carolina. Duke and Piedmont want the new pipe to take a different route. They are open to various kinds of ownership arrangements. The companies expect to select a proposal by the end of this year and to have the project completed by late 2018. More, Charlotte Observer. Duke suspends use of tree stunting product. Duke Energy said it temporarily stopped using a vegetation management product that has raised a storm of public concern about safety. The product, Cambistat, stunts tree growth and keeps limbs away from power lines. Duke crews have injected the chemical into the soil near hundreds of trees. It plans on using the product in Charlotte, Greensboro, and Durham. The company and the product maker maintain Cambistat is safe and actually makes trees healthier. A Duke spokeswoman said the company failed to inform customers adequately. More, the Charlotte Observer. Ohio. Columbus to explore electricity aggregation. Columbus, Ohio. A new Columbus Energy Review Committee will explore whether the city should enter the energy aggregation market. The committee will meet with communities that already participate in aggregation to lower their costs. Most electricity aggregation occurs in northern Ohio. Mayor Michael Coleman and the city council gave no specific motivation for investigating the option. Coleman spokesman Dan Williamson said only that what the mayor and council president say is it's something worth studying. More, Columbus Business First. AMP members study next step after loss in court. Members of American Municipal Power are to meet this week to discuss how to proceed, appeal, settlement attempt, or other route, after a federal judge rejected their effort to force Bechtel to pay up to $97 million for costs of a Meigs area coal plant that AMP canceled in 2009. The judge ruled that AMP did not show Bechtel acted recklessly and thus the Municipal Power Supply Organization could not seek more than the $500,000 damages specified in the contract. Among AMP members, Coldwater Board of Public Utilities, for example, owes just more than $3 million in stranded costs, and Hillsdale Board of Public Utilities owes just more than $1 million. More, Hillsdale Daily News. FirstEnergy gets scrutiny for cold spell extra fee. The Public Utilities Commission is investigating FirstEnergy Solutions for the one-time fee it is charging fixed-rate competitive supply customers for its extra costs associated with the January cold spell. The company plans to attach a fee of $5 to $15 to residential bills and up to 3% to business bills. The commission is looking into how the contracts are marketed to customers. FirstEnergy Solutions is taking heat in Pennsylvania, too, where Public Utility Commission Chairman Robert Powelson is one of its customers. "Fixed rates are fixed rates," he said, "and I think there is a stench associated with the company's fee." The company's extra costs came from the extraordinarily high wholesale prices in PJM when extreme cold struck the region, cutting some power supply. More, WKSU, The Philadelphia Inquirer. Gas plant cleanup measure pulled from House agenda. Lawmakers stopped action on a measure that would have allowed utilities to charge customers for cleanup costs at 19th-century manufactured gas plants, where gas was made from coal and other fuels. The measure, part of a budget package, was pulled after it became more complicated with the addition of electric utilities to those that would be permitted to seek cost recovery for the cleanup work. Known costs so far are about $80 million for projects by natural gas utilities Duke Energy and Columbia Gas of Ohio. Electric companies American Electric Power and FirstEnergy each have 11 sites, for which cleanup costs are not yet estimated. Opponents say customers should not have to pay, and they warn the proposal could signal a broad liability shift that could be extended to other arenas, like coal ash ponds and coal-fired plants. Doug Culliffella of First Energy called those predictions just hyperbole. More, EnergyBiz.com, The Columbus Dispatch. AEP bill adders to cover derecho repair costs. American Electric Power Ohio customers will pay $2.34 extra per household bill and $9.67 per business bill to cover the utility's $57 million repair costs after the 2012 derecho. The Ohio Consumers Council had opposed the payment agreement that the Public Utilities Commission approved. AEP spokesman Phil Moy said the company probably would file for a similar deal in West Virginia to recover the $71 million in derecho costs incurred there. Moore says, "Bill to freeze green levels gets big pro-con lobbying." As the legislature contemplates a bill that would freeze the state's renewable power and energy efficiency mandates at their current level, big business interests are pressing lawmakers both for and against it. First Energy is a leader in support of the freeze, along with Marathon Petroleum and Timken Company, while opponents include Honda, Whirlpool, and Owens Corning. The measure, Senate Bill 310, would halt at 2014 levels the renewables and efficiency levels set in a 2008 law, which raised the requirements annually to 25% by 2025. Some large users say the utility bill fee for the program is costing much more than the benefits. More, the Columbus Dispatch. They making changes to help prevent Lake County outages. First Energy will change insulators on power lines in Lake County, in the Illuminating Company territory, to cut the risk of another prolonged power outage after two outages in the first 2 weeks of March that left tens of thousands of customers without power. The work, which should be complete by the end of the year, will involve changing porcelain insulators to polymer insulators and adding switchers. Local officials told utility representatives that communication during the events was a problem. The representative suggested conference calls and a special smartphone app to improve communications. More, the News Herald. Utilities meet reliability standards in 2013. PUC All of Ohio's regulated utilities met Public Utilities Commission requirements for reliability last year, PUC documents show. American Electric Power had an average of 1.03 failures per customer with an average duration of 141 minutes, not counting major storms, which are excluded from the PUC standards. AEP had been aiming for less than 1.2 outages and 150 minutes in duration. Each company has its own requirements, set to take local conditions into account. More, the Columbus Dispatch. Ex-PUC chief takes law firm post. Todd Snitchler. Former PUC Chairman Todd Snitchler has a new job in the Columbus office of McDonald Hopkins, a business advisory and advocacy law firm. He will provide expertise on energy policy and strategy, government affairs, and regulatory matters. Snitchler cannot argue cases before the PUCO for 2 years, but will be able to practice before other state commissions. In addition to its Columbus office, the firm has locations in Chicago, Cleveland, Detroit, Miami, and West Palm Beach. Its Washington, D.C.-based subsidiary, McDonald Hopkins Government Strategies LLC, is headed by former Ohio Congressman Stephen LaTourette. Pennsylvania. PUC mandates more retailer info, shorter switch time. Public Utility Commission member Pam Whitmer urged lawmakers to adopt a set of PUC regulations that would give electricity customers more information about their accounts and the ability to switch suppliers more quickly. Spurred by thousands of complaints of sky-high bills from retailers for the extraordinarily cold snaps this winter, the PUC instituted new rules to require clearer contract language and more disclosure about variable rates. The new rules also cut the time it takes to switch from an average of between 11 and 40 days to 3 days. The Energy Association of Pennsylvania, representing utilities, said it would be challenging to adopt the faster switch period in the 6 months allowed, and said utilities lack the technology to close out bills fast enough to meet the new switching timeline. EAP CEO Terry Fitzpatrick also said accelerated switching would do customers little good in a price crisis, as it would be too late by the time they receive their bills. Meanwhile, the PUC released data that showed two competitive suppliers, IDT Energy and Pennsylvania Gas and Electric, accounted for more than half of the complaints the commission received. 10 suppliers accounted for 83% of the complaints. Chairman Robert Powelson said the commission could ultimately revoke the licenses of abusive suppliers. More, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, the Philadelphia Inquirer. First Energy gets 14 years to close Little Blue Run. The Department of Environmental Protection gave First Energy 14 years to close the large Little Blue Run coal ash impoundment, which is associated with the Bruce Mansfield plant in Shippingport. The 14 years is more time than environmentalists wanted, but less than the company sought. In a closure permit, the DEP requires First Energy to monitor groundwater and surface water from more than 300 locations instead of the 74 the company had proposed, and it requires the company to control noise, odors, and particulate emissions, among other measures. First Energy agreed to stop pumping coal waste slurry into the 978-acre pond by the end of 2016. The DEP said First Energy has posted a financial assurance bond of more than $169 million, the largest ever required by the state for a waste management facility. More, TribLiv. Susquehanna Unit 2nd of May get NRC upgrade. PPL Susquehanna 1,300 MW Nuclear Unit 2 can go back to normal Nuclear Regulatory Commission oversight if it clears one more hurdle, a thorough inspection to make sure root causes of its problems have been addressed. NRC representative said at a public meeting near the plant that PPL is meeting the objective set to fix troubles identified after four unplanned shutdowns in 2012 and 2013 that caused the agency to put the plant in special oversight status. Only five other U.S. reactors are in the degraded cornerstone status. At the meeting, PPL detailed measures it has taken to improve operations and noted that it plans to spend more than $20 million in capital improvements and $40 million for maintenance at the plant. More, the Citizen's Voice. FirstEnergy starts rollout of 2 million smart meters. FirstEnergy is poised to roll out 2 million smart meters to customers in its four Pennsylvania-based utilities. The several-year deployment, managed by Accenture, will be one of the largest advanced meter deployments on the continent. More Accenture. Virginia. New line to help co-ops reliability problem. Southside Electric Cooperative has begun steps to replace a Dominion Power distribution line with a co-op-owned transmission line, in a plan for relieving an outage problem connected with the line. The current line, which serves the co-op substation in Dinwiddie, was ranked second worst of 246 old Dominion Electric Cooperative's wholesale power delivery points in Virginia, Maryland, and Delaware. Standards for a transmission line, wider rights of way, for example, will provide more reliability than the distribution line does, co-op said, although some local concerns remain about impact on historical sites. More, the Progress Index.